name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Today is the commemoration in the church, beloved in Christ, of Luke, the holy apostle and evangelist. We know that the evangelists hold a very special place in our church among the saints. One of the children asked a few weeks ago about the cross and who are the four icons depicted around Jesus on that cross in the center of our iconostasis. And of course, we said it's the evangelists, the gospel writers. We know that they're important. We know that their story of Jesus is how we have received this faith. And we remember them as wonderful figures of witness and testimony to the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice. Imagine if we didn't have Luke, though. Just how important is Luke among the four, and how much of what's in the Gospels is particular to his writings? Without Luke, there would be no genealogy of Jesus going back to Adam. That only occurs in the beginning of Luke's Gospel. There wouldn't be a narrative about the birth of John the Baptist. We wouldn't hear about the Annunciation when the angel Gabriel. And Luke's the only gospel, the only New Testament text that names one of the archangels, Gabriel, making a reference to Daniel, the prophet. We wouldn't have that without Luke's narrative. We wouldn't have the shepherds in the field saying glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men when they hear that Christ the Savior is to be born. We wouldn't have the narrative about Jesus being presented in the temple and being received by Simeon the elder. Of course, that wonderful prayer that's such an important part of our Vesper service. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before all people, a light to enlighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. St. Simeon's prayer. We wouldn't have it. We wouldn't have Jesus as a 12-year-old boy in the temple. That only appears in Luke. We wouldn't hear about the sending out of the 70. Today in the gospel, we hear about their return, but that's only in Luke. And that's a specific reference to the mission to the Gentiles. And of course, the parables. We've said before that Luke takes up half of our Sunday lectionary of the gospels. Half of the year we're reading Matthew and half we're reading Luke. So without Luke, we wouldn't have those particular parables we know and teach us so much. The Good Samaritan. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The one about the Good Samaritan. The prodigal son. The son returning and the father embracing him. My son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is now found. We wouldn't have the good thief's confession of Jesus. Remember, Jesus, it says, was crucified between two others. And only Luke tells us that one of the two confessed Jesus as the Christ. Said, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus turns to him and says, truly, today you will be with me in paradise. The confession of the good thief. And these are just some highlights. I'm going down the list here. The walk to Emmaus when Jesus is talking to Cleopas and Luke. And that's one of our wonderful Matins Gospels. What has been going on in Jerusalem? Are you only a stranger you haven't heard? And they don't realize they're talking to Jesus. So Jesus opens their mind to understand the scriptures, tells them that it was necessary for the Christ to come and suffer in order to enter into his glory. So all these things we have in abundance that are particular and a blessing out of the Gospel of Luke. There are four Gospels, we know that. Mark is generally considered to be the earliest written gospel. That's what most scholars think, based on its brevity. And there's nothing particular about Mark that doesn't appear in the other gospels. So scholars date that as the earliest gospel written. So the Gospel of Luke probably emerged after that and was based on Mark's writing. The Gospels, we believe, beloved in Christ, were written for us. We understand them as being true, as being the Word of God revealed to us. But God isn't interested in filling us in on history for its own sake. He's not interested in satisfying our curiosity, telling us what happened. God wants to teach us something, and He wants to convey a message through these Gospels, through the parables, through the things Jesus says and does in them. And sometimes we might run across passages that seem like they contradict each other. Well, Luke says there were two, and one of them confessed Jesus and the other condemned Him. And the other Gospel says, well, they both condemned Jesus. They both mocked Him. Which one is true? What am I supposed to believe? We can't think like that as Christians. We can't ask those questions because all of it is true and all of it is good and all of it is given to us for our building up, to teach us something. So this is what the Gospels are for. Luke, in particular, was composed after, we believe, the fall of Jerusalem in the first century. So Luke had a very specific purpose in expanding Mark's story. And he wanted to emphasize one very important thing. Mark tried to show the leaders of Jerusalem, the church leaders of the Jews, that they had no authority anymore since Jesus the Christ had come. There was only one gospel, and it was the gospel of Jesus, the crucified Messiah. Everything God ever said or did or promised or revealed was now fulfilled in Jesus on the cross and everything He said and did. And in Mark, we see that. Jesus speaks authoritatively. He teaches the scribes and the Pharisees. Luke was written, going even further, not to convince the leaders of Jerusalem, but to convince the Jews themselves. The Jews themselves, that earthly Jerusalem was irrelevant. The earthly Jerusalem had no purpose anymore. The temple had been destroyed. Jerusalem had suffered physically. Does that mean God had failed His people? Absolutely not. God had been promising and saying all along that He would offer salvation to all, not just to His people, the Jews, who accepted Him, who received the promise from Abraham, not just the ones who were circumcised in the flesh, but all nations of the world. This salvation was for everybody. And we see in today's gospel, and why this gospel is chosen for Luke is very important, because that's the primary thing we remember about Luke. The 70 apostles are returning, and it says they're rejoicing because they have power over demons. They come back to Jesus very happy. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in Your name. But Jesus tells them, don't rejoice in that. That is the case. Of course, the demons are subject to the apostles in Jesus' name. However, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And then Jesus goes on Himself, it says, to rejoice in the Spirit and thank His Father that these things are revealed not to the wise and prudent, but to babes. Yes, Father, for such was Thy gracious will. We might wonder, what does that mean? God's keeping some things hidden from the wise and the prudent, and He's revealing them to the babes. That's the story all along, though. That's the story in Corinthians, the gospel, the word of the cross. I will make foolish the wisdom of the world, God says. I will put to shame the wise and the prudent. The word of the cross is folly to the Gentiles. It's scandal to the Jews. If we try to reason through it with the wisdom of the world, we won't get it and we'll end up frustrated. This is God's will, that His Son Jesus Christ should come into the world and die and suffer, and in that suffering redeem all, offer salvation to all. That's the word of the cross, and that's embedded here in this Gospel of Luke with the mission to the 70. So when the 70 come back, Jesus has to teach them, your real joy comes in the Holy Spirit. It comes in the salvation that your names are written in heaven, not in that you have authority over demons. So we want to understand then, for our purposes, for our instruction, what this means. What this means for us. You know, we in the church are sometimes put in a position to think we're in a better place because we're Orthodox. Here we are in the Orthodox Church and we have the true faith. We believe that. We confess that in the creed. But our joy shouldn't be in that. It shouldn't be in that we have the true faith. We can't take any credit for that. We've simply received what was given to us, what was handed down in the apostolic word. The beginning of the gospel today, Jesus tells his apostles, if they hear you, they hear me. And if they reject you, they reject me. And if they reject me, they reject him who sent me. You ever hear people say, well, I love God and I believe the Bible, but I don't trust the church. I don't believe in bishops. You know, I don't believe in any church authority. Well, how do we know the Bible's true? We know because it's been given to us. We know because we have received it. If we don't receive what God has given us, in this faith, in what we profess in the creed, then we reject the ones Jesus sent. And we reject Jesus himself, and ultimately, we reject God. You can't have God, you can't understand God or understand the Bible, his word, without having the context of how that was given to us. The holy apostles, the evangelists who wrote it down and who taught the things Jesus said and did. So our joy should not be in that we are Orthodox, but rather that God has given salvation, not just to us, but to all the world. Jesus Christ came and gave his life so that all men would be saved. In the first centuries of the church, they had this controversy between Jews and Gentiles. You know, were Gentiles going to be allowed in this faith? Were we going to be able to sit down and have a meal with the Gentiles who are considered unclean by the Jewish law? Will they be invited? And of course, Paul and all the scriptures tell us emphatically, yes, it is one community. It is one heavenly banquet. And the only Jerusalem that matters is not the one that we can identify with geography, but the one in heaven, our Jerusalem, which is to come. So we may not grasp that fully today or experience, but we experience something close when we talk about cradle Orthodox versus converts. You know, I was born into this faith. Others have come to it later. I'm really Orthodox. They're kind of not. And we hear that, you know. Or I'm from a country overseas where the church started. Other people in America are coming to it. They don't have the real faith. We sometimes hear things like that, or we might think like that. But we can't. We're all converts. We're all coming to this faith and this salvation through grace, not through a birthright. And we sometimes forget that all of salvation history starts when Abraham is asked to leave the place of his father's home and go to an unknown place. To cut that tie, so to speak. Become a son of God, not through your genealogy, but through your baptism, through your faith in Jesus Christ. God reckoned it as righteousness to Abraham because Abraham had faith. So we come together today and we honor and remember the Apostle Luke, the evangelist, for giving us the wonderful written account of salvation in the life and the words of Jesus and his activity. The activity of the Holy Spirit. You know, Luke wrote Acts of the Apostles as well. It's considered a two-volume work. And sometimes they call Luke the historian, because we'll hear in his writings references to things in the secular world. You know, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, this is when John the Baptist went out and started his preaching. He gives us the historical setting. Once again, not to tell us what's going on to satisfy our curiosity, gee, when was this written? But to teach us that this salvation is and always has been for all people. It's a universal salvation. Jesus Christ is King of the Jews. He's King of the Gentiles. He is the universal King who will come again in his glory. And right before Jesus ascends into heaven, we hear that at the end of Luke and at the beginning of Acts, he instructs his apostles to go and preach this gospel so that repentance and salvation will come to all the world. We have to repent. The only way we can enter heaven is if we change, if we turn and become like little children whom God has revealed his truths to. So through the prayers of the holy apostle and evangelist Luke, of the most blessed Theotokos and ever Virgin Mary, and of all the saints, may our Lord God have mercy on us and save us. Amen.